to episode 43 of the Hellbound podcast, presented by myself, Alex Blackburn. I'm the producer and founder of the Hellbound Horror Festival, and I'm joined together at the hip by my co-host, Michael Chan. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm good, but I feel like one of my doppelgangers after I've beaten him up. I'm exhausted.
So can you tell the audience what you can tell them about what's going on with you? And
oh, you want to talk about energy let's level? See. I have both kids at home right now because my daughter, her camp ended and her school starts in September. So we have both kids. And then we don't know from where or how or whatever they got hand, foot, and mouth disease. And that has been its own nightmare for, as a parent, it's very difficult to watch your kids suffer. And this is just the bumps that come with it. And just, my son isn't really eating properly, sleeping properly. It's horrific.
Is there a treatment they can have from the doctors, or is it something you've just got?
Not
to
really. Things like oatmeal baths and some lotion and stuff will kind of help them. We're giving my son, he's really young, he's 6 months old, so we give him like breast milk popsicles and stuff to help him, because he has like bumps inside his mouth too, so it makes it very hard for him to breastfeed or to eat. So
it must be in some serious pain then.
Yeah, things that numb the pain is good. But yeah, that's I don't have much sleep, so I sound like a zombie right now, which is, you know, appropriate for a horror podcast, right?
I think we should talk about Jamie Foxx's new film on Netflix called Day Shift. What's the film about, Michael?
It's about a dude who's a vampire slayer.
Isn't he a pool cleaner? Isn't it like a front for being a pool cleaner or something?
Technically a pool cleaner. That's his cover for being a vampire slayer.
It looks really intense, the kind of action scenes in that.
Yeah, I think the guy who did the choreography did, I think, one of the John Wicks or all the John... I don't know how many John Wicks he did, but action sequences. But it was... this movie just came out of nowhere. I didn't know what to expect. I saw that, you know, it was a new horror film on Netflix, and it had Jamie Foxx and Dave Franco and Snoop Dogg of all people. And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. And yeah, it's like, it's good, cheesy. It's funny. It's fast paced, good development. Snoop Dogg was surprisingly good. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the only thing that I didn't enjoy was the main villain, their acting. I don't know what was going on with their acting. I think maybe it was directing, trying to make her be 90s cheesy, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show cheesy. But I don't know. The other actors weren't... They were cheesy, but not like that. It was like stilted, not stilted. I don't know. It's a cadence. It's the way they were talking and emoting that was different from everybody else. So made them stand apart in a way that I personally didn't like, but it wasn't distracting enough for me to not enjoy the film, because I enjoyed it very, 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 very much. And I get the sense, because there was interesting world building in this film as well, quite a bit of it, some great concepts in there for vampires. And I feel like I'm getting the sense that Netflix might be wanting to turn this into a franchise. Just think like Fast and Furious, but like not the original ones, but the more recent ones, but about vampire killing. How about that? That's the best way to describe this. It's like Fast and Furious, but vampire slaying.
Was there any kind of new vampire lore in it, or was it the kind of classic with daylight and garlic and all that kind of thing?
They are using the classic vampire, I guess. It's what we've known vampires to be like forever, and they're using that. It's just, I don't know how much I want to spoil, I guess, about the film.
A little tease would be nice. Yeah, what's involved?
It's more, I think, about how the Slayers work and how they have it's like an association, like a union, and they're part of it. So that part of the world building was very intriguing to me. It's not the vampires that are new, although the way they fought was, I guess, in a way new, just in because it was just so acrobatic. Like, the fight sequences were intense and really well done. Like, the fight choreography is top notch, and I was just really, really impressed with it. I wasn't that part I definitely wasn't expecting, like, considering how cheesy it is. For the fighting to be at that level, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah, it looks fun, man. It looks fun, and some things do just on Netflix just appear out of nowhere. Sometimes you can see they're marketing a mile away for something massive, and then obviously this is a pretty, you know, this looks like relatively big budget, and you've got a couple of big stars, if not just one huge star, and some things just disappear in the cracks when they're released online. You know, when you've got millions and millions of viewers, what, 200 million viewers on Netflix, you know, they're expecting things to get discovered, not necessarily right away. And I think this might be one of them. And I really like the look of it. I remember seeing the teaser trailer with the older vampire when I think he's cleaning a pool outside, and then it just goes completely crazy. And it did interest me that the choreographers are, you know, John Wick based. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing how kills are dealt with, and, you know, it just can't be just that. You know, we're going to see character development and all that sort of thing. So I'll definitely be checking out Day Shift with Jamie Foxx, yeah. What I wanted to talk to you about next is a little bit of an odd one, and it's kind of something I've been using recently. And it's during the original 2020 Hellbound Horror Festival, we had Alex Proyas as a guest judge, or a head judge, to pick best film. So thanks to Alex again for that. And he's been talking about and posting about an artificial intelligence framework and computer system that's called Midjourney, and how it's creating art for users, and how, you know, because he's an artist, he's an exceptional artist for his concept art. He does a lot of his own concept art for his huge films like The Crow and Dark City. And he's been using it himself, and he's been posting about it. But it's not just a post he's throwing out, he's also making, you know, having commentary on it itself and where we stand when we've got an artificial intelligence that's human created, but it's creating the art through direction. And I felt very odd about it. Felt very odd using it, because I decided to use it and see what I could get out of it through artistic direction and create film posters for the Hellbound Horror Festival film submitters. And people, you know, the reception for it's been really nice. But I've been asked a couple of times, please thank the artist that's created the art. And then it puts me in a weird position where this is the first time I've openly talked about it in being used in the festival, and I feel very kind of odd about it. But it's another service. I pay a very small fee to use it, and it creates great art, and people are, you know, they're really happy, and they feel even more involved in the film festival now. But I still, each time I put a series of prompts through, because we were briefly discussing it yesterday, I always kind of question whether I should be using it or not, and yeah. I just wanted to see what your take on it was.
To give our listeners a little bit more context, Midjourney is the name of like a research lab, as well as the application they have created, the AI application they've created, which uses Discord as its main, I guess, interface. And you put in, prompts. So words for what you want. For example, like if you have, Cthulhu suing H.P. Lovecraft in a courtroom drawn like a Monet painting, something like that, I don't know why I chose something that weird, but yeah, it's you put that in and I kind of want to go and look, and then they'll give you four options, like four pieces of art, which come out as like square art, so like Instagram dimension art, and the four options are different, and you can choose to use one of them, so you can enhance, like make upsize it and render it to larger file size. You can also choose one of the four and say, I want variations of that, I like that one, can you give me variations, and it will. But here's the thing, you can first use it a limited amount of times for free. Then after that, once you use up your limit, you can subscribe, and then you'll be able to do more. And how do I feel? So I think it's fun as a kind of like a toy. I like seeing what happens when I make an AI make art. But at the end of the day, Midjourney itself is not really an artist. Sure, there are some humans behind the code. Sure, if you pay the subscription, you're paying some humans. But what worries me is I guess I went online and I was reading, I forgot which publication, one of the major publications used Midjourney to create, I guess, the art for one of their articles, and they got an intense amount of backlash for it because people are like, hey, you make millions and millions of dollars, why aren't you actually paying a real artist to do this? Why are you cheaping out and using, a computer, a machine to create an art for you that you could have potentially gotten for free as well if you haven't, used up your free art, I guess, generations. So I think it's fun to use, and in a pinch, like if you really just need something really quick and don't have time to wait, sure. But I would save it as a last resort, because personally I'd rather pay an artist. I do understand that artists are not cheap. As an artist, mind you, not a painting or a drawing artist, but as an artist myself, I feel that our art is worth the price, though. And there is something to be said for something created by a human, because at the end of the day, as cool as what machines could possibly make, it's still there's a human element that is missing that I think people should really take into consideration.
The biggest thing I like about being a film producer and filmmaker and cinematographer for work is the back and forth between myself and the client, and really molding the idea through that back and forth, and through sketches initially and influences, and seeing where my head's at, where their head's at, and really the process, like for the new artwork for the overall Hellbound Horror Festival, that was through Fiverr, that was through an artist I've used before, and that back and forth was absolutely like this conversation now. It was just like that, and it was a wonderful process, and it felt like I was getting, he was designing exactly what I wanted out of my head, and I was so happy with it. With the art I created through Midjourney, It's so cold as well.
It is, but there you can't say like, oh man, I don't like this part of it. You can't change it. When you ask for variations, it gives you variations. It's not like it's custom.
The human element is missing. This kind of, it's kind of soulless, and you have no clear idea. I think through talking through with a real artist, you have an idea of, you kind of have an idea. You don't fully picture it. It's coming into focus slowly with them, but it's pure. It is random. It is purely random tonally. There's so many different elements to it. And it's nowhere near.
This is the whole automation discussion, right? The automation debate in the work industry. A lot of people don't really think about it in the art for the arts, right? People think about it for, you know, assembly lines, you know, not even automation, like just how you can underpay people. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Freshie, which is a healthy fast food chain over here, at least in Canada, and some of the backlash they've been receiving over using instead of cashiers that are, you know, like people who are behind a till, they're now using what's the phrase? Basically, you have a screen, and it's someone from another country where they can pay them $2 an hour. And you have this, they're still human, but they're on a screen, and they you know, take your order and put it through. And the human workers who are making the food then get a little slip and they put it together. That's kind of how it's going. And that's not cool, because now Freshie is saving a ton of money on, you know, cashier expense. But there are people being exploited in you know, so that's not really automation, but that is still a use of technology to exploit, to make more money and for exploitation. And that's the kind of debate we're in now. And Midjourney does actually fall into this whole tech and automation and replacement debate, because now the arts is being automated and being replaced by machines, and, you know, companies, corporations can legitimately save tons of money, and that's not cool because they don't need to.
Absolutely. And that was the thing for me, because on a personal level, when I discovered this and the discussion around it, I thought, oh, that's just, I can't see myself ever using it. But then I realized what the potential was for someone that has zero budget, because the Hellbound Horror Festival is, there is no budget for it, or a very, you know, there's budget obviously for hosting of the website and all of that. And then it's just time, my time of, you know, in terms of production time, I have very little time. So I try and fit my marketing and everything around the festival and the admin around everything else I do. And it does tend to be around two hours minimum every day, even at weekends, to do with the festival. And it's a huge energy drain. And, you know, after the last one 2 years ago, I was seriously ill, and that was partially down to being so run down. And that's why there wasn't one last year, because I just didn't have the energy level, and I was still recovering from being in the hospital. So it's and that's why I thought, right, let's try something simple. And for me, I found it's a great way of kind of interact with the filmmakers. But then I want, you know, I'll post about this episode so people can learn about who the artist is, or what the artist is, or the that's following my prompts or my direction to create the posters, because I don't want to kind of hide away from it. And I have been asked who the artist is for some of these pieces of art. So, you know, I want to be honest with everyone.
We as Hellbound should definitely be transparent about what we do, and for all the criticisms that, you know, especially that I'm making about AIs and all that, you know, we are using it, and I think in this world discretion and is needed. You know, case by case is a thing. Like, you can't paint with a wide brush. There are people Well, let's say you're from a family that doesn't have a lot of money and you're a student and you need you know, this could generate a quick piece of art for you to use for a project or whatever, you know, like that. There is a place for it. I'm not saying it shouldn't exist. I'm just suggesting that maybe certain people or groups should not be using it.
And this is just to create, for my example, it's just to create awareness for the films and to generate interest in the festival. And there's, this festival runs on a zero profit, but it's just a way of kind of bringing a lot of filmmakers together. So yeah, we use Midjourney for our film festival submission artwork. Okay, Michael, I want to ask you about, we can talk, we've talked about this before, maybe on a different podcast. I wanted to talk to you about Hunting Darkness and what it's like to be part of a horror film or horror short film.
For those of you who don't know, is a film produced by Katisha Shaw, written by Ryan M. Andrews. It was original and starring a bunch of the most talented actors you will ever find, including Katisha and myself, and also done with a crew that is one of the most amazing crew ever. And it is a short film originally created for the 72-hour Horror Film Festival. Unfortunately, because of the scale of the film, that we never actually were able to finish the film in time for the festival. However, we did finish it afterwards, and then now it's in the festival circuit, or starting to be in. And it's done well so far. But what's it like being in? So I love being in horror films, and you know, I have a 16-year career and I've always wanted to do horror, but I could never really get myself booked in a horror role. So at the end of the day, once I met Katisha, we're like, you know, we're both horror fans. Let's do something. We want to make stuff, let's do something. And so yeah, we started making horror stuff, and it's so much fun. It's hard work, but it's so much fun because there's just something so amazing about being creative about, I guess, death and fear and, you know, all that comes with that. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be gory when you do something horror. Like, currently we're doing some micro short films and you know, on zero budget, there's only so much you can do. But it's the horror element is fun to work with because it takes such creativity, such imagination, especially in a world where so much has already been done. But Hunting Darkness itself was just extra special because of just how much we did on such a small budget with so little time. Like, we made a film with barely any money in just over 72 hours, actually less. We did it, well, we filmed it in a day, but anyways, and somehow in post made it look like $1 million. Like, that's.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It really, really does. That's something that when I created the poster art for the, because it's part of the festival, but when I created the artwork for the fest for Hunting Darkness, could have been really simple to spoil the film.
Because there is a creature, we're not really hiding from that part, but it's just yeah, design. It was interesting, again on zero budget, to sort out how to make this creature come to life. Well, I mean, we have an incredible makeup artist who was able to just bring this creature to life, and to get her in our film was just such a privilege, because you don't often at this budget get people like her with her talent level. So that was also really, really cool. And plus, we also borrowed a bunch of stuff, which is great. Like, you know, that's actually one of the nice things about this community is, like, you know, when you meet a bunch of amazing people and everyone is so creative and understands that you're trying to create, that, you know, so you're able to just call people and say, hey, is there something I can borrow, you know, and then see what you can do with that.
They're so kind of precious, those people, or people in the industry that you can bring into a project, and they instantly understand where you're coming from. That's kind of that's where the magic is, really, that kind of collaboration.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just, I can't really say the name about it, but, like, Katisha and I just did one of our micro shorts. And yeah, like, we were lucky enough not to have to pay for our location because we were able to borrow a friend's place because they had exactly what we needed. And it looked exactly like what we needed. And that's so rare, you know, that we can do something like that and then be able to have a friend let us do that. So that, you know, this is such an amazing community, really.
Absolutely. I think that's about it for this week, Michael. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or mention?
No, I think I'm good. I think it's time for me to attempt to sleep if my kids haven't woken up already, because it was a very early morning for me. So, yeah, guys, if you like what you've been listening to and haven't done so already, please consider subscribing or following us on your preferred podcast application or platform. And also, if there's a way to review us, please give us top score, 10 out of 10, 5 stars, whatever it is. And give us a good review. Like, any support we get on these platforms helps us to be featured and then get us more listeners and allow us to do more for you. We are also on social media. We are on Instagram, and it is our handle is at The Hellbound Podcast. If you'd like to be featured on our social media, if you have art you want to show off, for example, send us a DM, a private message, and we will feature you. And that's about it. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, harness the darkness.